Welcome, everybody. Episode number 28, Rogue Day Tots. I'm Kevin Rogue, along with, well, let's just go ahead and pour a cup of coffee for Al Day. Al, my friend, how are you?
I don't like your tone, for starters, sidekick.
You're going to try and pour a cup of coffee for me? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, like, I'll mail this to Duke. I'll this Lex Luger figure. You just say the word.
Don't worry, I'll take care of it, man. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you just say when. No, I'm good. Recovering, but all in all, not bad. The nose is healing where they took the lovely skin cancer out. So good. That don't recommend. Use sunscreen, everyone. That's a nice PSA from a very pale guy.
I can't use sunscreen. Scream, man. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Makes you put it on, you feel like you just went through like a laminating machine, man. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I go to Mexico and that Mexico sun will fry you.
Yes. Bad. There's a certain point on the latitude scale that you cross this threshold and the sun is suddenly intensified.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, overall. Like getting over stuff and congestion and all that. If I sound horrible, I apologize, but it is what it is, man.
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure the listeners can't tell the difference.
Probably not. You jerk.
So, Al, you had mentioned this to me before, and I definitely want to get into this because we have been talking about, or I at least have been waving the flag for Power Town figures, man. I have been pretty openly supportive of them since the first time I came across them. I think the first time I saw it, I sent you the link.
Yep.
Saying, hey, check out this Power Town stuff, man. It looks great. Really excited about it. But they've been doing their, you know, their press tour, their media scrum, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there was a recent interview that happened. I know that you listened to it. It's on my schedule to take a dive into, but why don't you crack an egg of knowledge about this Power Town.
So they've been on, I know Sam, I believe is the guy's name, Mr. Rosenthal, has been on a few podcasts recently, but he is kind of the head honcho when it comes to Power Town and all things Power Town. I listened to the Fig Cave, shout out to that podcast, Phil Gentile.
Gentleman Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. He did an interview and they just talked a little bit about his history and the line. I would love to have him on a future interview episode. That's something we'll discuss amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
But, he's a part of this Power Town. He roots himself back to Remco, like the AWA nice. Remcos. And he was tied going to Vince McMahon, trying to get the first WWE figures, which there's I know in Phil's episode, there is a Grail figure mentioned of a WWE concept. If you could find that at Remco, you're talking probably $1 million fig, if not more. Wow.
Yeah.
Because it was a concept that was never released. But anyway, the Power Town discussion, we've got Vern Gagne, Lou Thesz, Magnum TA, Kerry Von Erich, and then Ted DiBiase and Stan Hansen as they were as a tag team back years ago.
Yeah.
These figures look incredible. But the thing that got me revved up, and I know we wanted to discuss more, was in that interview, he mentioned they have over 200 talents signed. Just
blows me away. It blows me away that they've signed 200.
There's a lot of families that are signed. I was very excited to hear about this Poffo family that you're going to probably see some figs from there.
Very cool.
You know, I'll take a genius or Lanny Poffo.
Let's say Leapin' Lanny.
Yeah. Yeah. All day long. But you might even get Angelo Poffo in the same one. Like,
wow.
Not just Randy and Lanny, but Angelo. So,
yeah.
But they're going deep in the cut. And one of the things I really liked about what he said was they're trying to gear this to go toward, you know, helping the wrestlers and possibly their families, you know, if the wrestlers have passed on, but helping the families, like giving them a significant portion of this. And I know there's more information coming probably the middle of July. That's what he was saying on the interview, that you'll see some information about that Kickstarter and how it's going to work. I know we had discussed possibly splitting these up. Kevin, I might have to order all six. I'm not going to lie.
Whoa, look at that.
Yeah, the more I look at these figs, it's like, they are good. Yes. But one of the things, since they've signed over 200 talents, and we like to fantasy book fig lines, who are some guys? Because I know he hit some spots, and I try not to give away everything from Phil's interview if you haven't listened to it yet. But like, for instance, the Mulkey brothers are getting their first figures.
That's crazy. That's
yeah. But who are some guys that is like, ooh, I would like to see them get a fig? I know where your number one is with a bullet.
Well, my number one, obviously, Gigolo Jimmy. Absolutely, with a bullet. Give me Gigolo and give me Dr. Tom. Absolutely. Give me the bodies. That's what I'm here for. As soon as he said that, man, for some reason, the Z-Man popped into mind. Like, I think that he would fit this line pretty perfectly. Yep. Rick the Model Martel. That would be a nice one to slide in there. There's a lot of guys from like the AWA days that I would like to see, whether it be like a Baron Von Raschke or a Vashon. You know what I mean? Like those type of guys from back then. Those are guys that I would love to see. Give me a Larry Zbyszko and give me the living legend. I mean, do you have a Sam Martino? Give me a Sam Martino, right? Like right. Those are some guys that I think that for whatever reason, I don't know if WWE just doesn't have, or Mattel doesn't or couldn't get the rights to make those, or just don't want to make those because of the age discrepancy. Like a lot of the legends that we're seeing now, we're not seeing a lot of guys from way back unless they were big time draws from way back.
Right.
And that's not to take anything away from a guy like Larry or Bruno, obviously, right. But it falls kind of on deaf ears on the younger generation. So some of those guys, man, I'd be doing flips. If you got me a Heavenly Bodies, a Zbyszko, a Baron Von Raschke, man, like, yes, absolutely. You got guys in your mind that you're like, yes, please well, give me this.
It's funny you hit the AWA because that was one of the things he mentioned with his roots being AWA Remco, mm-hmm. that yeah. there is some crossover there that, you know, will interest you. I think this will be a line that is for collectors like us.
Gotcha.
Not necessarily a lot of the new school guys that, you know, you may want to add them to your, but it will hit in a wheelhouse that is more for us. Like guys that we grew up knowing, enjoying, you know, understanding the history of wrestling through these lines.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to see an AWA Scott Hall with that porn stash.
Yeah.
Fire. I mean, just yeah. cool. That Rick Martel as the AWA champion, if they could pull that off, that would be wow.
And you wonder if they could even do... Could they do a Kurt Hennig? Could they do a Larry the Axe Hennig? You know, things like that. Those type of things intrigue me.
Well, and they did mention on the interview, again, trying not to spoil too much of this, because it was a great interview. I really enjoyed it. I've listened to it twice, actually. Nice. And it's one of those things that he did mention tag teams. Like, we want to feature some tag teams. We want to feature mm-hmm. some families, like famous wrestling yeah. families. So that's all exciting to me because I'm like, ooh, these are figures that when I know, for instance, Kerry Von Erich, yes. I'm not getting the Texas Tornado Legends figure mm-hmm. ever unless someone gives it to me. Just right. just for the simple fact of the price point.
Yep.
I understand where it is. You know, the market is what it is right now, mm-hmm. but you know, to have a loose one and it's $400.
Yeah. Yeah. What about like a Bruiser Brody, man? A Bruiser Brody, that would be, you know, falling into that, like, as soon as you said the Von Erichs, I was like, man, I you know, my mind, I think to Bruiser Brody when you start, you know what I mean, doing those big classic brawls down.
I feel we're going to see potentially a Bruiser Brody, a Nick Bockwinkel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see, I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised as more and more becomes available of this Power Town. I don't know if you've looked at the renderings for the six. They've released some new updated photos.
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah.
These are exceptional. Like, this is next level figures.
I don't know. Has there been people waving the Power Town flag more than I have, Al? Because I don't know. I have been, since I first saw them, every time I get a chance, I'm always sliding in the check out Power Town. Because I really feel like this is, like you said, these are figs for collectors like us.
Yes.
Because even like some of these legends that come out, like the great, right? I love the Legends line, really enjoy them. But there are some that come out and I'm like, well, I don't really think that one's necessary, or I don't necessarily need that. That's not for me. And a lot of the new elites that come out, I pretty much pass on. I don't buy anything new. You know, if it's new generation era, when they do throw those kind of throwback figs in the line, yeah, right. I love those. But going back to, like, man, the Wayback Machine wrestling, yes. that is hitting the spot. I think you nailed it. It's almost like they asked us, what do we need? And we went, here's what we need. And they went, yep, we got it. We're gonna go ahead and make it.
Yeah. And I think that they're going to blow some people away with how good these are going to be. Like, it sounds like this is the template here moving forward. Like, the quality of the six you're seeing right now is what you're going to get throughout the line. And they have plans. Like, they've really done research, done homework. It sounds like that, you know, this could be one exceptional line to collect.
Yeah.
But man, those first six, they look incredible. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those, you didn't know you needed a Luthez, but you do.
Oh yeah. That's a great way to put it, because I think when we first started talking about the Power Town figs, those first six came out and you said, I need this one and this one. And I went, that's perfect, because I need this one. We'll just go halfsies on it. But then now you're looking at them where you're like, oh boy, I know Luthez was on my list of three. And you're going, oh no, look at that. Maybe I do need Luthez.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I know once it drops, we'll be texting one another and discussing this in detail, because
yes,
I'm curious to see the price point on these. I'm very curious.
And from what I've read, he said that they plan on staying in line with the market. So
yes,
whether that's the, you know, Ultimate Editions market, or whether that's the, you know, your elites or AEW figs market, or what exactly market he's talking about, I'm not sure. But it sounds like he wants to keep them affordable.
I think, and that's one of the things that I think you may fall between, like, where the Ultimate Editions are and those first AEW Supreme figures are falling. Mm-hmm. I think you might fall that on the first one, because it's going to be taking the temperature of the room. Like, what kind of interest, because how many of these things are we going to be producing over time? You know, that kind of mindset. And I know there was different things that they were going to do with the Kickstarter. Like, they've already got, it sounds from the interview, the funding in place to roll out the first wave regardless.
Perfect.
Like, of how successful the Kickstarter is. Like, they've got plans in place to roll these out. And what I liked about it was he gave timetables. There's a lot of different stand-up fig companies today. I'm not going to name any names specifically, but some are struggling with deliveries and, you know, patrons are getting frustrated.
Yeah.
He was saying that what they're hoping was this Kickstarter will happen in July. Basically, figs will ship in December and you'll be seeing them in January of next year.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's
a sweet timetable.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's something to be excited for. I know, you know, if you get your Gigolo Jimmy, Molly's going to ground you, because it's like, well, I need one more. Like, have him doing the motion all the way across your desk
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I was just thinking about like lining all my shelves here with Jimmy's. Just under like a flip book of Jimmy all the way across.
Yeah, that's what it would be. Just doing the jiggle all day.
Yeah, all day jiggle, man. That's it sounds great. Well, I'm super excited. I don't know that I've been this excited for a new fig line since obviously AEW. And I might even be a little bit more excited for these power towns than that first line of AEW, because that first line of AEW hit and it was so exciting and it was great. But some of those figs aren't all what they could be. Like Jazzwares was still kind of finding their groove as far as what they're going to do with this AEW line. That's not to say that the first series of AEW figs are bad or anything like that, but I think they could have been a little bit more. And I see these Power Town figs, this series one line, and I don't know how they could be better. You know what I mean? Like, it really seems like they're hitting everything on the head.
If this is indeed the figure you are getting, you know, because we've seen hot photos before.
Yeah.
If this is indeed the figure you're getting, and it sounds like from them, this is what we're putting forth. This is the quality it's going to be every time. That, yeah, I mean, you look at AEW Series 1, they already had a redo of Series 1, that 1B variant where they updated the skin tones. That is one of the big knocks I know on AEW figures right now is skin tones, that they've not got them quite right. Like everybody's too light or, you know, just off, you know, slightly. I think they're great figs. I mean, you obviously are staring at a bunch of them right now. So
yeah. Yeah. I love the figs, but that has been kind of the running knock on them. And I think that they have improved, I think, drastically from their Series 1 to where they are now with Series 9 coming out. But looking at Series 1 of these Power Town, I just don't see, there's nowhere to point to that you go, oh, that could be improved.
Right.
Or that might be better. I think they're just hitting, man. I think they're fantastic. I am extremely excited to see these Power Towns. I gotta have them. It's a must, and I'm gonna keep on waving the flag for these Power Town figs, man. I am full on excited. I think anybody out there, if you get the opportunity to listen to the interview on the Fig Cave podcast there with the gentleman Phil Gentile, I think that's, go check it out. Go get the information, man. Look them up. Look up Power Town. It's great stuff. It is great stuff. Super excited. We'll transition our excitement, Al, to a little bit of frustration, maybe. Maybe a little bit of anger, maybe a little bit of rage. It's a time, Al, to kick them off your lawn. Who are you booting off the lawn this week?
So the fun story, Saturday, I believe it was Saturday. These days are running together right now. I mailed a few figs here and there. It may have been Friday, but regardless of the day, there was a lady that was there and in the process of moving, you know, herself away from the area to another location. She's got some boxes that wouldn't fit in her vehicle, wouldn't fit in moving truck, whatever. Wanted to just go ahead and mail them to the new forwarding address. She fit a lot of demographics, we'll say. A lot of shitty tattoos. That's enough way to put it. Yeah, gotcha. But she covered a lot of things that how you don't act at a post office, especially one that's crowded and has one person working there. Like to inconvenience everyone there. She had like five or six boxes, and he's like, "Ma'am, you have to mark this out." And I kid you not, I was shipping something up to Craig, so I had to get the customs form and all that stuff. And I'm waiting patiently in the line, you know. I sent you and Taylor some stuff that I could use the kiosk, but, you know, with the customs form, you got to wait in line. You got to let them process it, put all the stickers, all the fun stuff on there. Mm-hmm. So I got Craig his LJNs in the mail. But as I'm sitting there and she's arguing with the guy that you shouldn't have to do this. And he's like, "Ma'am, you know, when you have to check a box saying this contains no liquids, no, you know, different things, different levels of, you know, it contains none of this, and your box is stating that it is containing these, you have to mark that out in some form or fashion.
Right.
And she kind of scribbled through it, and it's like, ma'am, you can still see it. Like, I could see it from where my point in line was. So,
right.
But she was getting frustrated. The line was getting frustrated because they had one person working. It was on a Saturday. It was Saturday. You know, just a lot of frustrations, pent up aggressions with people. And I'm just, you know, sitting here with my box thinking, I wonder how much I'm going to spend shipping this to Greg right now. That's all I was wondering. Right. And, but yeah, that lady can get right off the line, you know, just as foul and as irritating as she was. And the poor postmaster guy, he's just there to do his job.
Right. Yeah. That's one of the things that blows me away when people are throwing these fits at the post office, when you're trying to ship, all of a sudden this person that's coming in knows all the rules about shipping and mailing. All of a sudden this person that doesn't agree with what the rule is all of a sudden the postmaster general. Get the hell out of town with that. They know what the rules are. You don't know what the rules are. And guess what? The rules are what they tell you the rules are. It's that simple. They're hoops. Jump through the damn hoops.
Yeah, I really miss, my aunt was a postmaster for 30 plus years and she had retired. Yeah. Like, I miss those days that if I needed something exotic mailed out, I could always check with her. Like, hey, I need this to go here. What do I need to do? And, well, can you just mail that for me?
Right.
Usually she took care of it. So.
That is nice. It's nice to have somebody on the inside. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That is. And that, I think that falls in line with a lot of our get off the lawn. It's just inconsiderate people. Just people that, I mean, just be nice. Guy's trying to do his job. Move on with your day. So, Al, I am a bit of a, well, what's the word I'm going to look for here? When it comes to parking, right, you park inside the lines. You make it easy for people that are parked next to you. You make it easier for other people that might be going to park in that parking lot. I mean, even in the winter up here, when it snows and the parking lot, my office hasn't been plowed yet, I'll get out of my car and I'll run my foot through so I can see where the line is to make sure I'm still parked inside the lines, right? That's how, like, I have to be in between lines. I have to park, right? Because to me, it's a thing about being considerate towards everybody else that's thinking about parking in that parking lot, right? You just do the right thing. Sometimes I'll step outside of my office and people be parked sideways. Just blows me away. But on this past Sunday, my wife and I went to go pick up some groceries and pulled into the parking lot. And I don't mind if trucks do this at the end of the parking lot where nobody is. Doesn't bother me at all, especially if you have a trailer or camper or whatever. Wow. You're going to take up a couple spaces. I understand that. But you do it towards the back of the lot.
Yeah.
So you're not screwing up the lot.
You at least go to the midway point and further back.
And further back, absolutely.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Just be considerate of those, the other people that are going to be there. Well, this important son of a gun, he is parked up near the grocery store. I would say maybe five spaces back from the front spot. And he is parked long ways, taking up essentially four spots with his truck. Because he's just over the one line in that way and just over the one line the other way. So he's parked sideways, blocking four or five spots in his truck with no trailer, just sitting there. That set me off. That's just blatant, like, self-importance. Nope, I'm just going to park here. I don't care. And I got a little bit huffy. As I got out of the Jeep where I parked right in my line, nice and neat, making sure people could park on either side of me, got out of the car and I looked over at the guy in the truck and I went, ha, look at this important mother effer. I just kept on walking by. So I was like, what are you doing, guy? Like, he was sitting in his car. I'm guessing he might've been waiting for a wife or a husband or a kid or a grandkid, whoever was inside the store. But he parked in such a manner that it just blew me away. One of the most inconsiderate park jobs I have ever encountered. just to park that way, way up close. It's just, boy. And I know some people are like, but my car, I don't want to get a door dent. I don't want to get it. Fine. Don't, but do that way back. Do that in the way back. Right. Like go way back there. Nothing happens way back there. Nobody else even parked way back there. Don't park up way up front, taking all the spots from everybody. Boy, that bugs the hell out of me. Get off my lawn. That's self-important MF for, oh man, off the lawn, off the lawn, man.
That reminds me of the honorable mention that I had because the wife and I went to grab dinner last week, Friday, I think before, no, we had the kid. OG was with us. So we go into park and we were going to Five Guys. Mm-hmm. And Cassie's driving a Tahoe now. She went from a Subaru Forester to a Tahoe. That's a drastic change in the size and turn radius and everything of a car.
Yeah, so she traded down.
Yeah. When she's pulling into a parking spot, like she wants to make sure that there's plenty of room on each side so she'll adjust.
Right.
And this Toyota Highlander, who just could not wait, like whips in beside us, crooked, like the spot was available, and she was trying to adjust. Well, this guy's flying around, whips in, and then looks at us like we're the a-holes that he can't open his door. And it's like, you'd have gave us a second, you know? She was straightening it up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, the parking is a problem. They can get off the lawn.
And how hard can it be, man? There's lines. Like, yeah. You fit right in between the lines. It can't be that hard. Makes me wonder if you handed a coloring book to some of these sons of bitches where like they're just drawn everywhere but inside the lines. Like, what are you doing? Just
I have nice. Seen just the people that will be sarcastic and stick a coloring sheet in their windshield wiper, like a flyer, yep. And basically, you know, about practicing being in the lines. My third grader has to practice too. You know, maybe that's this great. Will help.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I might get a coloring book, man.
Yeah,
that might not be bad. That might not be bad. Well, good. I love that. I love kicking people off the lawn. They can all find their own lawn. They can't be on ours. That's for sure. And that'll bring us to the mission, man. And we're starting a new line, man. And that's always excited. I'm very excited to get into these. Why don't you go ahead and tell us where we've been and where mm-hmm. we're going?
So we've covered historically wise, and again, let's apologize to Manny. I know you and Duke would do it like a moment of silence, but when it comes to like the fig line of all time, we both kind of agreed that the AWA Remcos, even though technically they were the first ever release wrestling line, yep. we weren't going to dive deep into those. Just they're not going to win the greatest line. Yep. It's fun for nostalgia purposes. There's three or four of those that are quality figs for us, but we reviewed the LJN line and the Hasbro line that were both with the WWF. And now we're going to take this journey and go to the Glue manufacturer where they did the first WCW line, which was an exciting time for me. I remember when these came out, it was an alternative to WWE. They were bigger than the WWE Hasbro figs.
Yeah, not by much though. Not by much.
Yeah, I mean it was somewhat scale wise, but they were slightly larger. They were more in line with the LJNs though, as far as a fixed pose, and they are made of a hard plastic like a PVC type. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to give. They're not going to flex anything like that. It is a set pose. So that's one of the things that. I know we're discussing our grading live on air, but how that factors in when it comes to playability, you know, could affect the grades.
Yeah.
That said, some of these scans are out of this world. And I know we've talked about how, you know, Hasbro Series 8 is going to be a hard line to touch.
Yep.
It grade wise, Lex Luger brought it down at a B+.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still our gold standard right now. And we won't finish series one this episode. We're going to do a series one, part one, cover it, the 1990s. I will preface it, Wrestling Figure Database and Fig Heels Ultimate Figure Checklist. I've utilized these resources to get us information together. So I know Fig Heel just released the 2022 version of his checklist.
Nice.
So if that's something you're interested in, I have the 2021, which will cover us for Galoobs, but he updates this every year. It's kind of a passion project. And they have both versions, the color and the black and white versions available on Amazon now. If that's something you're looking for, if you wanted to, hey, what figs did Jax make in 2007?
Right.
There got them all.
Yeah.
Got them all.
That's a great resource. So,
but we will touch the Galoobs. Now, there were an initial six release that had on the card, and this is one of the things I know we had discussed previously this afternoon, proudly brought to you by the NWA.
Yeah.
And then the cards changed and proudly brought to you by WCW. Mm-hmm. You know, those NWA ones on card, that's something to keep in the back of the mind here as you go. Like, if you become passionate about these, as we do about our wrestling figs on this podcast, but we're not just going to differentiate that because that was just a repackaging, you know, deal. So we've got 13 figs in this initial line. And I say that because there are two variant Sting figures.
Right.
So that's what we're going to cover. We'll cover the first six today. And I've sent you the pictures, Kevin. I hope you have. I tried to send you on card and then a front and a back view of each of the first six figs we're going to cover. And we're going to start with one of my favorites of the line, and that is the Enforcer Arn Anderson. Now there were two variants of this one. I have one in my office next door that has the flesh colored yarmulke, as Tony Schiavone called it, with the bald spot, yeah, on the back. This particular one I sent you loose pictures of. I found one that had the hair painted on. I think it was fully painted if you look at the back shot of Arn.
Yep.
So they had two variants of it, but he is standing kind of in a forward flex pose with his arms down, you know, at an off angle, one another, like he's about to grapple somebody. Closed fist. He's got white wrist tape. I love what they did with the trunks because the front is white with the AA and the back is red.
It's a nice touch.
Got black knee pads and then the white boots with red accents and the red toe and heel. I mean, just classic Arn Anderson from this era, like the garb that he would wear. That was one thing that I've noticed looking at the Galoobs, that they tried to nail the outfits. Like, mm-hmm, it wasn't going to have all the playability and all the action that those Hasbros did, but they tried to nail it. I think they did a fine job all around with this fig. I'm a huge Arn Anderson fan, especially as I've gotten older and grown to appreciate his wrestling. The more I do that, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to get more Arn Anderson figs in my collection. So it's a problem. Now, Galoobs, I will preface it here as well. I'll try to do it every episode. They all came with the most generic WCW belt ever. Just a gold belt with some black accents and lettering that said WCW.
Yeah.
I like that belt. It.
I like that belt, though. This is a pretty wonderful fig. The face isn't, I mean, the face, it's not spot on, but it certainly isn't far off at all. I love that they took the time to on those trunks with the AA and the white front and the red backs, and the detail that they put into the boots is great. From any type of playability standpoint, I actually don't mind this one at all because you can still get that spine buster in, you can still get that DDT in. So that's fine by me. If there was one spot that I were to critique, it's just the hair coloring.
Yeah.
It's a little too dark up top. Just a little too dark. And that's the only thing that I see in this thing that I really don't necessarily care for. But the face is, I mean, just zooming in on that face, that's Arn Anderson. It's a young Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
But that the coloring of the hair is a little bit too dark for me. I mean, they definitely added some exaggeration on the muscle aspect of things.
Right.
But we've said it time and time again. We like a little bit of embellishment. They didn't embellish him to being, you know, Ultimate Warrior LJN. They just added a little bit, which is a fine touch as far as I'm concerned. I definitely like this fig. I don't know where you're looking grade wise, but I definitely like it.
So I was exactly the same with you. The hair color is a little dark, and it could be color palettes. It could be, you know, a lot of different things that caused it. I know he has dark undertones with like light, you know, just how hair normally goes with sunning and things like that. You know, it gets lighter, you know. I have this one next door with the flesh-colored yarmulke, and it always cracks me up to see that, like on the back, because I hear Tony Schiavone, "Oh, you got that flesh-colored yarmulke on." And talking to Arn with his wrestling fig, but overall, I'm very high. Right now, and this may be high, but it's Arn Anderson, and I don't want a spine buster. I'm sending it an A- on this fig.
Okay. Yeah. And I was pretty high myself. I was thinking more B+ range.
Yeah.
But I mean the amount of detail the small detail that they put in.
Yep.
I think goes a long way. So I'm fine with A- there. If that's where you want to land, I'm fine with B+. That's going to be your call as far as I'm concerned. It's a nice fig, man. Like sometimes you worry about playability when it comes to these molded figs.
Yeah.
But you still, like we ran into with the LJNs, obviously there was some that you went, wow, you could still have one hell of a match with that fig. I think this is, that falls in line with that. Like you can hit the marks with his moveset with this fig. So it's entirely up to you, man. You tell me where we land.
I'm going to give Arn the love and give him the A-.
Yeah.
So we will move on. I did not realize this, and I use the screen capture from the wrestling figure database for the on card. It's the Spanish version of Barry Windham we're looking at on card.
That's awesome.
But we'll move on to Barry Windham. Shout out to Barry Windham. He, underrated wrestler, you know, from his day. He had moments in the sun, you know, there were the horsemen, and this particular fig line, like he was one of the horsemen. If you are looking for the four horsemen from this Galoob line, that was one of the ones you would get, was Barry Windham. They did not make a Tully Blanchard here. One of those iterations, it was right after the horsemen, I guess, reconvened. Arn and Tully were coming back from going to WWF, but so they got popped on a drug test and was kind of relieved of duty.
Yeah.
Crap happens, right?
Absolutely, man. Every day.
But we'll take a look at Barry here. He is posed with, you know, one arm up, kind of in a flexed motion, the right arm up, and the left arm is out, similar to Arn's. Both closed fist. He's got his black tights, his black cowboy boots. They did make sure to, you know, kind of detail that where they are, the cowboy boots, with a little bit of silver accent. He's got his long blonde ponytail. Now, that was something that I meant to check before I came in here, the two-tone paint job there on this ponytail, if this is somebody's touch-up, because I grabbed the loose pictures off of eBay.
Yeah.
But it appears that the one in the package is actually just that light color, that super blonde with the beard and the long hair. I'm not 100% sold on the face, Kevin.
Like, neither am I.
It's not all the way there for me. It's close. Like, it's closer than some of the LJNs and Hasbros we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the, so if you look, and I'm going to go off the one in the packaging, right? Because the loose figs do look like they maybe have had some touching done.
Mm-hmm.
But the one in the packaging, the hair color is great, but the beard color is not.
Right.
Because it's, you know what I mean? Like, his beard is definitely a different color. So, but if you look at the loose pick there, it's definitely the beard has been touched by a different color.
Right.
So I do think that looks like somebody's been at it with some touch up action. The face is certainly not all there. They kind of over embellished, I think, on Barry Windham. I don't remember him with that type of abs or that type of definition of the muscles. So I think they might have gone a little bit too much, because if you take that head off that body and you pop a Lex head on there, that looks more like a Lex Luger type of a body.
Yes.
Than it does a Windham type of a body.
Exactly.
Don't mind the cowboy boots. With his attire, how much can you really fancy it up or dress it up? I think you're right. The face isn't all there. I'm definitely not nearly as high on this Barry Windham as I was on the Arn. That's for sure. I don't, where are you at?
So if you look at the on card, there's a picture of Barry wrestling.
Yes.
If you go and zoom in on that, like, that echoes the body type.
Mm-hmm.
But Barry also has on knee pads and black wrist tape, whereas on the figure it's white wrist tape.
Mm-hmm.
Little details that, you know, could be done up a little better, you know.
Yes.
Yep. If you got the beard darker, a couple of, yeah, and the body type is, that's a deal like Brutus Beefcake had on the LJN line. Like, he paid somebody to put these abs in here, huh?
Yep.
And I'm wondering if it's not like a mold thing, that they had certain molds that they wanted to just fit to and just pressed them out and, you know, put different heads. I'm not entirely certain how these were manufactured, but I am more in the, I would say, C to C plus range on Barry.
Okay.
Okay. That's kind of where I'm leaning. I like the cowboy boots. That's a fun touch. The ponytail that he would rock to the ring. Mm-hmm. I do wish the beard was corrected, but he had such a kind of a straggly beard that if you'd have painted it on black, it may have came off like way too dark. Like, oh, that's a huge black beard. Kind of the Scott Hall Hasbro vibe there.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. I think I'm a little bit lower. The more I look at it, the less I like it. I think I probably, and you pointed out some details that I missed there, obviously, with the black wrist tape and the knee pads. Obviously, the body type is wrong. I think... Hey, I don't even know if this is a C. I think I go C. I go C minus.
Okay.
I think C minus is where I'm at. There's just not enough that tells me it's Barry Windham.
Yeah.
It's just not play. I mean, if you're looking at the playability again, the pose is fine for playability. You can do a lot of different things with that pose. But I just don't see a lot of Barry Windham in the fig. I'm gonna go C minus.
Okay. So. The C to C plus and C minus, we'll call him a flat C and move on to one I'm excited about. So the next fig that we have, are you not as excited as I am, Kevin?
I'm not.
Oh, man.
I am not. I can appreciate your excitement and enthusiasm for this fig, but I think I'm probably far away from where you are on it.
Okay. Well, we're looking at Brian Pillman, good old Flying Brian here, pre-Hollywood Blondes days. He is posed with both arms up and the hands are open, like he's doing, you know, a claw or double palming basketballs. White wrist tape. He's got the blonde mullet. What I love about this is the Bengal stripe tights, like they got it nailed. Black knee pads, white wrestling boots. A lot of fun, this fig, to me. Like that, to see the Bengal stripes painted as a kid was something that I was a big Flying Brian fan whenever we'd watch WCW, you know, back in the day. You know, he was a fan favorite before he became a Hollywood blonde.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was one of the things that white meat baby face, like as white meat of a baby face as you could get when he was Flying Brian.
Yeah.
So the face isn't perfect.
Not perfect is putting it as nice as you possibly can.
Yeah.
That there's nothing there that looks like Brian Pillman at all to me. That face is very, very bad. What, I mean,
it looks different to me, and it could be the angles we're looking at. The picture I sent on card versus loose looks slightly different to me.
Okay.
Neither one are spot on, granted. It's not 100% there. But a lot of people argue that this is the best Brian Pillman action figure that there is.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
There's a lot of discussion that, you know, some people think that this is the absolute best.
Huh. Well, I know that Jax released some pretty poor ones, but...
Yeah. Well, Jax released a lot of poor ones there at the beginning, though.
Yeah. I just don't see much here, man. Yeah, that face, and it does look a little bit different in the on card as opposed to the loose. But even the loose, I think the face looks way closer to Bob Backlund with super curly hair than it does Brian Pillman. It looks like Brian Pillman's hair on top of Bob Backlund's head.
I would say the one on card is a lot. Yeah. I can kind of get what you're laying down there.
Yeah. On the on card one, not so much on the loose, but the art on card picture that I'm looking at. I appreciate the Bengal stripes. I think that's a good look. The open hands I like because it's almost like, you know, you're like doing a splash from the top rope or right. Back then it had to be the second rope, of course, but doing some type of a splash. And I like that. And you can do plenty of moves in the pose. The body a little bit embellished, not overly embellished though. I think it kind of matches up with Flying Brian. Yeah, I just don't. That face is atrocious. Where are you at grade wise here, Al?
Well, I was a lot higher on it, and the more I look at it, the grade starts to drift on me. I mean, neck down and include the mullet, because I think they did well with his hair, like the curly hair, the molded curly hair. Neck down, I'm very high on this. That face is where does it draw that line?
Yeah.
And I'm more of a BB plus kind of guy with this one because I love it so much. And I know it's skewed there.
It's gotta be, man. I'm struggling to see anything more than a C.
Okay.
Like if this fig was in a, you know, generic Superstars of Wrestling, generic Family Dollar, Dollar Store, Dollar Tree store, Dollar General, whatever it was, where they just put together some guys that look like wrestlers because they want to sell wrestling figures, and this was in there, that would make sense to me. That's what that face reminds me of altogether. I'm gonna go with the C. I think it's extremely, extremely average, and that's just because of that face. Like neck down, sure, I definitely agree with you, But that face is so bad to me. It's a C fig for me.
So you want to call it a C plus or a B minus?
That's up to you, man.
I'll call it a C plus. It is dropping. The more I look at it, unfortunately, it's that's it is what it is. You can add us if you don't agree. That's okay.
Yeah, well, we'll give you a cup of coffee.
Well, the next one, we've got the first member of the tag team Doom, which is the Natural, Butch Reed. It always cracked me up when he wrestled under the Natural and he had blonde hair.
Yeah.
That deep blonde hair. The Natural, Butch Reed. But he is essentially sporting some slight dark blue / purple sweatpants of sorts as far as gear. The white tennis shoes, now there was a variant where they had just solid white tennis shoes or painted like details. The one I've sent pictures of has some of the little painted details versus the solid whites. He is posed with both arms up. The right arm is slightly closer, you know, and further out, like more in a punching motion than the left arm, which is out a little bit and has an open left hand. Black wrist tape. The thing that I've noticed looking at this face is, like, why did they age Butch Reed so much in this figure?
Yeah.
But I know they wouldn't for details, because if you look, they added where there would be veins on his arm. They added those as little bumps in there, like to show you how muscular he is.
Yeah.
But they put all of those lines in his forehead, and it aged him horribly.
Very.
But I think if you smooth those out, you know, you might have an okay fig.
What's the story with the sweatpants here, Al?
That's something that I've always wondered myself, because I did not have Butch Reed. I had Ron Simmons growing up. And, you know, the ring gear, like the sweatpants, you couldn't just put them in black tights?
Yeah.
Put the black armbands around the arms?
Yeah.
Like, you got the black wrist tape, right? I do wish, looking at the back of Butch, you would have got a little bit more hair length.
Yeah, I can see it's not bad,
you know, and I'm not going to disparage it that much. The body type is not that far off to me. Like, Butch was a big, thick guy, and I mean, the definition, they might have indulged themselves a little bit,
yeah,
but not excessively. But again, he doesn't have muscles that they made up for him like they did with the Ultimate Warrior, what, Series 2 fig in the Hasbro line. They created muscles for this guy. They didn't do that. I mean, he's a big, thick, beefy boy.
Yeah, he is. I'm a little torn on this whole sweatpants thing, because they put in a lot of detail to have the sweatpants look like a pair of sweatpants. Like,
yes.
That's a lot of detail to go ahead and put that in to make it look like he's wearing a pair of sweatpants and sneakers. And they got the paint on the sneakers, which I think it's kind of a cool touch. It's such a weird way to go with this fig, but I'm kind of okay with it. I like to put the tape on the fingers. The wrist tape is there. That face, again, I could see old Butch Reed, but I can't see Doom Butch Reed in that face. I'm just a little perplexed on the sweatpants. It just because they put in a lot of detail to in the sweatpants, but I'm like, man, why not just his wrestling tights? That doesn't necessarily. I mean, where do you go grade wise? Because they put them in damn sweatpants. But the sweatpants look great. They look like a great set of molded sweatpants, but they're not. It's not wrestling tights. You know, that part of it is kind of throwing me for a loop.
As you were giving your spiel, I gave it a quick look, and apparently the collectorate at the collectorati, it's on Twitter posted a picture of this that has them in, like, the promo photo has them in these sweatpants. I'm sending you this as a direct message right now on Twitter, like to your account, just so you can see this. But
okay,
they nailed it as far as this promo picture goes.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, they gave him a little more abs, but as far as the gear that he had on, the shoes, wrist tape, sweatpants, like 100%, they got it right.
Oh, that's, yeah, that is spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, that's a hell of a job by them. Wow, but why would they go that? Why would they go that route with it? You know,
I don't know if they showed up for promo photos and didn't have their gear.
I was gonna say just forgot their gear bag and away they went.
You know,
does that change the way you view this fig though?
It does a lot, yeah. Because from what they were given, I think they did well.
Like, yeah.
You aged him, you know, with the lines. He looks like Eddie Murphy in pick one of the movies where he plays multiple characters, and when he plays an older guy that they put the creases and things in the forehead. Like
it looks like one of the guys that would hang out in the shop in Coming to America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we needed more Randy Jackson from Coming to America than the old guys in the shop. We needed more sexual chocolate. You know, a little bit more of the curl. And,
oh, man, a little Jerry curl.
So, I mean, really, honestly, the face after seeing that picture is the big downfall for me.
Yep.
And it's just because you aged him 20-plus years.
Yes.
Putting those wrinkles on. Everything else, I think they did a fair job, and they embellished the abs, but like I said, they got his chest right, his arms. Butch Reed was a thick dude.
Yep.
So, and then looking at the promo photo, they nailed the pants and shoes.
Yeah, after seeing that promo photo, that in my mind, I think elevates the grade. And so, it's not necessarily how you remember him wrestling in Doom, right? It really isn't, which is tough. But given what was in front of them, they did a hell of a job. Yeah. You're right. The face is, like I say, the face is a little, they aged him. They certainly aged him. But boy, great, great at Al.
The face draws it down. Like, again, subtract the forehead.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a pretty decent pick. That forehead, I'm at a B. I'm just going to be at a B. Okay. I like it. That promo photo helped out a lot. It's going to help out Ron Simmons' figure a good deal.
Yeah.
You could do a decent amount with this. You know, Butch Reed was a lot of power moves kind of guy. So,
yeah, and that pose, you got as many power moves as you need.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on that. I think I'm going to go B too.
All right.
It's a shame too, because if they'd have nailed that face and then put that promo pic next to it, that we'd probably be getting an A.
Yeah.
But it's just they kind of missed that face. And without that promo pic, I'm much lower. Much lower. So hats off to Galoob for this Ron Simmons here. I'm absolutely agree with you. That's a B situation.
Well, we will go on to the next one. It's your boy, this guy, Lex Luger.
I got this fig, man. I got this fig.
Yeah. He is sporting the plain blue tights, black knee pads, white boots, white wrist tape. He's kind of in a similar to Arn, but they're more in a flex position down, not quite 90 degrees, but the arms, like he's in the motion of a flex, which Lex Luger, that's what he did. Like he was a big pose guy,
yeah.
not necessarily talent in the ring. I don't think they did a horrible job with the face. This is...
So if I can cut you off there, yeah. Al, this Fig looks much better in person.
Yes.
Than it's coming through in the photos. I think I even sent you a picture of my Lex Luger Galoob here when it arrived, because yeah. I was blown away at how fantastic it looks. And the face sculpt and body sculpt are lights out, but it doesn't really come through in these pictures how well they did the face, but they did a remarkable job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the body type. This is a guy that you could embellish more if you wanted to on the muscularity, you know, aspect, but they didn't go over the top. They did not create muscles for this guy.
Yes.
But you got the lean chest, the definition in the arms. That is one thing that they wanted, it looks like wanted to hit, was that arm definition when these guys are posed of, man, you know, you could teach, you know, all right, that's deltoids and, you know, biceps, like all this stuff, you know, anatomy-wise, they really nailed it. His legs, he was always shredded. You know, those legs are lean and mean, ready to go.
Yeah, and I was just looking over my shoulder, looking back at it, man. It is, I mean, even though it's Lex Luger, I love this Fig, man. They did great.
It's solid. It is solid all around. It was very much Lex of that era.
Yeah. If I could change something, though, I think I'd put the pose a little bit different.
Yeah.
I mean I don't mind it, but having at least one of the arms in a different spot would have been nice, or even having them both up so you could simulate some type of a slam, because you can't even really do much of a body slam with this pose.
Yeah.
But like I say, having this Fig in my collection and knowing how, I mean, it looks like a mini damn statue. It's so good. This is coming from a guy that is not really a big Lex Luger guy. This is a really nice Fig.
Yeah.
What would you change about it?
It's just the arms. Like, really, yeah. I realize, at least I think I know what they're going for. Like, he's flexing, like in the motion of flexing, but also like playability wise, that they didn't bring them in so much. Mm-hmm. It could be the way that they're manufactured and how the molds would work. Like, if you had to cross over, you know, would that create complications, you know, molding these, you know, sculpting these in the manufacturing process? So they're more out to the side. I do agree. Like, if they were both up, you know, you could do that gorilla press slam. You could do, you know, a lot of different things, or one arm up, simulate a lot more power moves. But I mean, I am not mad at this figure at all.
No. What do you grade it?
I'm an A on Luger.
Like, yep.
That face is solid. Yep.
I was between A and A minus, just because that pose for Lex kind of, I mean, again, you're right. You can see what they're doing with that. They're simulating the flexing, but It's so damn good, man. It's so damn good.
Yeah.
Can I? So this next one that we're going to get into, Al?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you know where my mind goes? Do you know what promo pick I think that they would have used for this pose, this Ric Flair figure?
Which promo is that?
Way back, Ramblin' Rick Rhodes. Do you remember that promo pick? That's exactly what I see there. It looks like Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes. It just blows me away. I didn't want to jump on your touchdown call or anything like that. But I saw the picture and I went, "Oh boy, that is definitely Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes. That's who that is." But you take us away, man.
Well, it just cracked me up because I was looking at the card and it says "a real killer with the ladies" on the card. Right. Like, you know, Lex Luger's, well, it's in Spanish as well. Let's see. Butch Reed says, takes opponents down. Ryan Pillman says, high flying and dangerous. Ric Flair says, a real killer with the ladies.
A real killer with the ladies.
Yeah. Just great. But Rick is posed in similar, like the shooter stance is what I'm going to call it from here on out. Yeah. Like he and Arn are similar. He's got his left hand open. They've got the detail like there in the forearm, you know, little vein action going on, like, you know, show some muscularity on Rick, even though, I mean, Rick got in shape at times.
Yeah. But
was never just insanely shredded.
Nobody would confuse him for being a body guy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, back before the plane crash, Rick was huge, mm-hmm. but that's neither here nor there. I mean, he had great arms on him, you know, a good physique. And as it says, he was a real killer with the ladies. Yep. But he's got that, I want to call it the 80s mom haircut going on. Yep. The blue tights, blue knee pads with the dark blue front. That's a dark blue on that Ric Flair. The dark blue boots with the red RF on the right side. I know I didn't send you all the pictures, but that's yep, one of the insignia there. It's the Carolina blue. That's what they went with for this, the U.S. version of Ric Flair. Can't be mad at that. That was one of his mainstays. You could have went with a few colors, but that I agree. That's a fine color for your first fig.
Yeah.
The face is not all there for me.
No.
I'm not seeing Ric Flair. It's kind of up there with like generic wrestler number 8.
Yep. Yeah. And does some of that because of the way that the hair, like they went for that like long flowing hair for him?
I think so.
And it kind of looks like maybe if they didn't do that, maybe the face sculpt would look a little bit different. His face sculpt really almost looks like a very young Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah, like even back when he was in the Blue Bloods, I'm drawing a blank on his name now. But that's that face kind of reminds me of that. Embellished the body quite a bit. The stance, I don't necessarily hate it, but it really throws me back to that. I believe it was an AWA promo pick that was the Ramblin' Rick Rhodes. That's all I can see every time that I'm looking at it. Now, playability, I'm fine. I mean, like I say, that pose doesn't drive me nuts or anything like that. Love that they added the RF on the boots. I love that they added that little white line there on the back of what would be his right knee pad. It's kind of a nice touch. There's some real minor nice things that they did here. I'm okay with this, but you are right. That damn face and that 80s mom haircut is. That's why, and his hair did look like that from time to time. So that's fine.
But it's not inaccurate completely.
No, when you look at the on card there, or you look at the card, and then you look at the fig on card, it's a little bit off there.
Well, if you go from the fig to the in action photo, it's kind of in between.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I see that. Boy. Yeah, you're right. That's tough now. The face is still, in my opinion, it's still kind of a stretch away from his face. And I really do think that he looks more like that young Hunter Hearst Helmsley character than Ric Flair. But where are you at, Al?
So I'm curious. I'm curious to see if we can find this promo pick, because how spot on they are, mm-hmm. you know, with this. I mean, yes, the face is not there.
Right.
altogether. The face is not 100% there. I'm looking at this. They did add, and you can't see it because the belt is on there, the white RF on the trunks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a detail that they got in there that we haven't covered yet. That on the boots, with the RF on the boots. I'm kind of in the same vein as I was with... I'm between where I was with Wyndham and Reed. So I would say C plus range on Nate right here.
I think C plus is fair.
Yeah.
I think that they nailed some of the small things, but didn't nail the big things. C plus, I think this is fair.
I do love that the knee pads are slightly lower, like where you can see the top of the knees, because that's how Rick wore them. I do like that touch, but that's not overcoming the face to the point of
right.
So we will give him that C plus. So that is it for this episode, the first part of series one. I was hoping for more of a contender, but right now it's clearly series eight thus far. We haven't finished series one.
Right, that's quite a hole to dig out of to get up to our top line.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely impossible, but
no, but we got to have quite a few A's coming up here in the second half of series one.
Yeah, you're gonna need some A pluses and really strong figs. They've got some really strong figs coming. In all fairness,
Yep. So what grades? What did we land on here so far for?
So right now we got Arn at the A-, Barry Windham at a C, Ryan Pillman C+, Butch Reed is a B, Lex Luger is an A, and Ric Flair is a C+. So
that's not bad. Not bad at all. And that will take us straight into Hunt's trophies. What do you got, Al? What's going up on the wall? What's going over the fireplace? What's going in the master bedroom? What do you got this time through?
It was kind of a lot week fig wise. Haven't been out as much. OG had an illness that I had to step in and just play dad and hang out at the house. So I haven't been able to go out hunting as much, things like that. Looked at a few figs, but I've passed on most of them. I know I text you and Manny both. Hey, if you come across a Chase Edge, let me know. Like if you got a spare Chase Edge that you come across in the wild. Been watching all these, the old wrestling on wrestling the other night, I should say, they highlighted Hogan and Edge winning the tag team belts. And it got me all nostalgic. I was like, I need those red pants now. But for this week, like I said, light week, I did score this Earthquake Elite from Jason Wolf. He had it on the eBay. I do have a fig coming in. It's not in yet, so it doesn't count. It'll be on the next episode that I'm really excited about. I know I've talked in our group chat for the Jaded Boys that I was really excited and I won this fig on eBay. But from one of the fellows in the Fig Cave, I managed to score the Elite Enzo and Big Cass. That'll go up on the recently renovated tag team shelf. I don't know. They may go on the desk. I like to have Enzo close so I can do the little moonwalk for you. You try to do credits and Enzo is just moonwalking. How you doing? We got that. And from Entertainment Earth, the exclusive Macho King from WrestleMania 6, Funko Pop.
Yeah.
Got that in this week. Very excited about it. As soon as it became available, like Michael Adam posted that in the Fig Cave, and I was like, done, ordered.
Yeah. So, man, that's a little bit lighter than usual.
Yeah, I sent out a lot of figs this week. That was one of the things. I sent you a few. I sent Taylor a Bobby Fish. He was very excited to get it. You know, the Fish gang is for real at his house. And then send a few up to Craig, the LJN. So,
So I, where do I start? So I do, I got a box from Manny. It's been pretty busy. I haven't been able to dig into it yet, but I know it's got almost all of Series 8 in there waiting for me. So I'm excited to get to tear into that. Always, man, Manny's such a fantastic guy out there doing such good stuff. Big fan of Manny. I did get your box in yesterday, along with my PW crate. I was so excited to open up the PW crate and see a gray shirt because I love white and gray shirts, man. I love them. And then I saw what was on it, and then I became pretty disappointed in it.
You couldn't have just done an Andre the Giant gray shirt?
Just left it as Andre. Yeah, that would have been just fine. The stuff in the package that you sent, man. Whew, blows me away.
Did you set Molly's cards aside for her? That's all I'm asking.
I set them aside, and I said that she could open them on Friday. It's a birthday gift from Al. and then the honky tonk, man. Oh, so good. It's so damn good. And I've been thinking about, I've been wanting to maybe pull the trigger on getting one because I wanted to open it. And then you sent this one up to me. And I was like, oh, sweet. It's got a little creasage on one of the corners. I can open this one. But then I saw that it's not punched.
Popped.
It's not punched, man. How do you open one that's not even punched?
You rip it. Just go.
You can't do that, man. So obviously the Bulldog and the Heart Found is fantastic, man. I got to get some more organization. Like I said, I ordered some more shelving, so I'm going to have a little bit more organization going on here so I can kind of get them up to where I need them to be. I grabbed some football cards while I was checking out of a Walmart the other day, so I haven't cracked those open. I'm keeping those set aside, so one of these days we get together, we can do a little card cracking. I bought one of those magnetic card holders for my relic. I got a couple of relic cards I want to put in those card holders. I bought it's too damn thin. It's not deep enough for the relic card. So I gotta figure out. I didn't know that they had different depths in them. And apparently the one that I got was not deep enough. So that's disappointing for the I got the bunny AEW relic card that's just kind of sitting there now. I got a Hobbs one too. I gotta find a couple of them. So there's different depths I did not know about.
I've got a couple of higher gauge card holders, like the higher point ones that I'll try to put in the box. Remember I told you there's a box of crap I forgot to send Kevin? It's over there behind me. There's a few.
In my PW crate, man, I got Chase, One Man Gang, which that's pretty awesome because that's the third time I've gotten a Chase within the, just over a year here. So that's been pretty cool. Then I opened up, I told you I got the Seinfeld diorama pieces to make Jerry's apartment. I started opening up the boxes that those came in so I could put together the diorama. Turns out they shipped me a Chase Uncle Leo from Seinfeld fig, which I didn't even know they made Chases for those. So that blew me away. I was super excited to see that on top of what I found out in the wild, Al, because it finally happened, brother.
Yes.
It finally happened. I was out there, and you know how often I'm out there, man. I am out there. And I walked in and I turned the corner at the Target and I saw some Series 8 came in, which was great. I didn't need the only Series 8 now I think that I'm hunting down is Mox. But I knew that Manny had already snagged me the majority of Series 8, and I had the Chris Jericho from Series 8 already. So I'm still just kind of looking for that Mox, but you still always kind of comb through them. As I'm combing through them, I see that damn sticker up in the left-hand side, Al. And I'm pretty sure I remodeled that Target free of charge. Right. It was, I go out so frequently, right? Just to find the AEWs that I don't have, right? Not necessarily just looking for Chase. Obviously, love to find a Chase, but just looking for the AEW fix that I'm trying to catch them.
Right.
To see a Chase in the wild, Al.
Yeah.
Boy, like, Man, I think I took a picture and texted to you right there on the spot. And I'm guessing that maybe whoever works there, their toys department there, maybe thought I was one of those creeps that sells them on eBay before I even get them out of the store. But yeah. Man, whew, fantastic. Finally got a chase in the wild, and I'm just blown away. Nothing like it, man. Nothing like it. It was a 1 out of 3,000. They label them differently too. Don't they? 1 out of 3,000 is a rare. 1 out of 5,000 is a chase.
That's what they do.
Yeah. And then the Kenny Omega chase came in as well, which actually it's a pretty fantastic looking thing. But I cannot explain to you. I texted Manny right away to share my excitement with him, because I know the day that he was out and he found me all those Series 8, he actually pulled a Chase Moxley while he was out. So I mean, it was a good day for our camp and for those members of our camp to be able to stumble across those, because you came across one too, didn't you?
Yeah, I found the Sting in the wild.
Yeah, I could have swore you got a Mox as well.
I secondhand bought the Mox, but
gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
So I have a Mox with the eye patch.
Yeah, it's friggin' phenomenal day. Just absolutely awesome. I did grab the Sting Wrestle Buddy,
which
I mean, quite honestly, I'm a little disappointed in it. It speaks, which I guess I didn't realize that it spoke, and then it's also a little bit smaller than the old Wrestle Buddies that we're used to from what, 30 years ago. But so those parts of it I was a little disappointed on, but I saw it. I definitely was going to grab it. I was hoping because they did make a Cody, did they not?
Yes, they made a Cody, a Luchasaurus,
Kenny, and Sting, right?
Yeah.
And so Cody, all they had was Sting. I think they had 4 Stings there. So I did grab one of those Stings, but I was hoping to find a Cody. I'm sure one of these days I'll stumble across it. But as far as my trophies, man, that damn rare Jericho. That was the find. Nothing like finding them out there, man. It just is wild times. And again, I could have swore they're never going to make it this far inland, right? They're not going to hit the Midwest, and certainly not, you know, north central Minnesota. So I'm pretty pumped about that. But that was a pretty healthy week, I suppose. Pretty good week.
Yeah. I while I was not opening the figs, wink, and redoing the macho shelf, you know, I sent you the pictures that I did get some custom shirts from the guy in the Wrestling 101 group. I think it's Killer Wrestling Customs, but his name's Jason. Super easy to work with. They screen print these shirts. They're like a fabric material. These have the Velcro in the back, as opposed to my buddy Ricardo's down south of the border. That's just the solid shirt.
Yeah.
Which I will say, like, Ricardo's are more expensive, but he does such good work. Like, I think Jason and them, they play the hits. Like, you can get your NWO shirts. I got a couple of Hogan different shirts. I updated my Ultimate Edition Hollywood Hogan with the Hogan, like the skull with the big wings coming off of it, that shirt. Yep. And then updated the Superstars with the Hollywood Rules with the blue flames. I actually have that shirt in my closet. So
very cool.
But I got some flack on Twitter for that macho upgrade. I know I'd send it to you that, like, man, this is what a difference this makes doing the head swap, because Jason Wolf mentioned, he's like, it looks like they did a Lanny Poffo head scan for this one macho fig. Like, why not just give us the genius instead of Macho Man, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I did the head swap with one of the extra Ultimate Edition heads, and the guy got so upset that they haven't seen these in Canada yet, and this is why he's getting out collecting, because the distribution problems. I'm like, well, I haven't seen the new Macho Man either. This is a basic thing that I swapped a head on. And my man, bro, I put the Madness shirt on him. And I guess he thought it was the actual Ultimate Edition.
You ruined that guy's collecting future?
Yeah, I mean, my bad.
Did you tell him? Did you say, hey, man, what's the cut? Or did you let him run?
Oh, I responded and said, well, okay. No, this is just the extra head from the original Ultimate Edition Macho Man.
Right.
And I just put it on there, added the shirt and sunglasses just to make it more complete. He's right. Like, oh, okay. He's like, it's just frustrating. I said, oh, I understand. It's distribution problems are real everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Absolutely. So, man, that's that. What it gave me, I would have laughed so hard if you just would have went, you just would have responded with a cup of coffee.
Not going to do that.
Man, I thought, yeah, no, I thought that custom job you did was pretty sweet. I thought it looked pretty fantastic. What else? I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this bad boy up?
I mean, I think we've covered it all. It seems light this week, but
yeah, it kind of does. But you know, some light weeks are good weeks. So
yeah,
at least you know, inside the confines of the home. But Al, what?
I did get an update that. Well, we should be expecting, or I should be expecting, because Kevin's not expecting this, that ring potentially to be coming in from Mattel next month.
Oh, really?
I think that's what they're shooting for. So,
well, that should be very good for you.
Yeah, yeah, should be very, very good. We'll hit them with the sign off. You can follow the big three on Twitter at Jaded Wrestling, at Tots Pod, at Year of Pod. Follow the ramblings of a madman. If you want to join the Fish Gang, it's at Taylor Hassler 1. If you don't know this, Taylor is a big Bobby Fish fan.
Big fan. Big fan.
Huge. Even though he gives his flowers every week, basically to Kyle O'Reilly on the breakdown episodes, he's a big Bobby Fish fan. Loves him. But shout out our good brother Manny in the CHC at Toys ISO, right? That's his Twitter handle at yep. Toys ISO. It's ISO Toys is like yep. the name, but
ISO Toys is at Toys ISO.
Yep. Yeah, we'll make sure I get that right. He's out there doing work along with like Bongzies, Dad versus Son Collects, at Montero Tom. At Pickett Sean. I mean, these guys, they're all hustling out there.
Pop culture junkie?
Yeah.
Pop junk too. Man, that guy's always out there doing the good thing.
Okay, Kevin. At Billy Gunn Sitcom. Shout out yep. to boy.
Yeah, love him, man. I love what he does.
The highly entertaining, fun to interact with. If you have a show that you want, that the one Billy sitcom or the one Billy Gunn theme song put to a sitcom entrance, shoot it Craig's way because he might have an idea. Like, you can get it done. So, but great there at Downtown Petey Brown.
Bullshit.
I'll always do that to you just to, again. Follow independent wrestling at Shady Natras.
Yes, Shady.
There's we've got so many friends from this. I don't want to go into, you know, Jock Sampson's another guy that we've got to know on here. Cold Stone Tim Boston, you know.
Oh, Greg well, Hayden. Yeah.
And I know Cold Stone has a few extra items in his store now. If you follow him on Twitter or the socials, he's got it up there that you can check it out at Hillbilly Hill, at, you know, Ted the Hillbilly Hill, the Hill Truth Podcast. Good great brother.
Guy. Yeah.
Gives us a lot of love, a lot of support. I'm listening right now. I paused it earlier today. His particular podcast from this last week on Switchblade Jay White and the promos. And yeah. Very... very interesting take on the power of promos.
Yes.
So, but I'll give it over to you. You can get the brethren in the program and all that fun stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would feel bad if I forgot to say a thank you to my good friends over at the Shining Wizards podcast. That's Shining Wizards Kevin, Shining Wizards Tony, and Shining Wizards Matt. Great guys over there. just fantastic. Do it. They do a weekly show every Monday night. It's good stuff. Good. They're good. Listen, got a lot of good interviews that they do. So big fan of them. The Brainbuster Boys, love the Brainbuster Boys. They do a lot of good stuff. You have, what was the other one? Brainbuster Boys, Shining Wizards Podcast. High Five Tom, man. High Five Tom, also known as Milwaukee Tom, is one hell of a guy. Really appreciate him. He does a show called the Midwest Wrestling Roundup where he pumps up indies in the Midwest. Fantastic dude, man. Really, really love High Five Tom. Obviously, my program brothers, Stonehenge. You can follow him at StonehengePW. You can follow Kyle Pro at KylePro4. You can follow JJ Rogue at JJ Rogue Means. You can catch all of the action on the AWF on YouTube at ProAWF TV. On Twitter, it is ProAWF. Show's coming up pretty hot and heavy here in the summer schedule. That's good stuff happening over there.
Well, you're plugging that prick JJ, and I was just going to...
You almost broke me with that... Danson Enzo, but I think I smoked him all this time. Look at that, man. Pat on my back. Also, by the time this episode comes out, Monday, we will be just past my wife's birthday. So I do want to say happy birthday to my wife. Lovely, beautiful, caring, funny individual, man. A super lucky guy to have her in my life. So happy birthday, Molly. I love you very much. And with that was episode number 28. Everybody out there, be good to one another. Support one another. Take care of each other. Thank you, everybody.